Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Well, dear, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. And starting off this evening, one of the things we must understand is that, let me read from my note and I will explain. So where do unclean spirits go? It's very important for us to understand when deliverance, when unclean spirit or evil spirits, unclean spirits is the same thing as evil spirits, is the same thing as demonic spirits. Do we have that understanding? All right. So now, where do they go to when they are being cast out of a person, a man or a woman? I say, when evil spirits go out, they look for somewhere to find rest. And their characteristic place where they like to dwell is human body. Hallelujah. Is where? Is human body. They cannot rest outside of the body. It's like, I don't know how to call it now. It's like the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit dwells in the believer, right? The Holy Spirit is not effective when it's outside the believer, right? The Holy Spirit's work, effectiveness, is when the Holy Spirit indwells a believer. So also demonic spirits. They don't function without a body. They call them disembodied spirit. They don't function without a body. Hallelujah. And so the characteristic place where they go to first is human body. Now, when they don't find human body, the next place they go to is where? From that scripture where we read. Or if we read the scripture from the beginning, or is it the later end? You will see there was like a bargain between the evil spirit, the demonic spirit, and Jesus Christ, saying, oh, do not cast us. He said, how many are you? He said, we are legion. And a legion means, I think, 6,000, right? He said, we are legion. I'm not sure if there were 6,000 demons, but he said, we are legion, right? And he said, oh, don't cast us out. If you will cast us out, cast us where? They were bargaining. Into where? The swine. Another word for the swine. Pigs. Pigs. So they cannot do anything without a body. Either human body or animal body. I hope that is well understood. So preferably a human body. But failing, in the event where they can't find human body, the body of animals rather than be disembodied. Now, their first thoughts, according to the word of Jesus in this Matthew 12:43, is to return into the person whom they have gone. And you can see the boldness of the demonic spirit. Say, we are returning to, he said, I'm returning to my house. And we know that in, is it 1 Corinthians that, he says, don't you know, 1 Corinthians 6 or 2 Corinthians, says, don't you know that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Ghost, right? So you see that the devil or the demon is laying claim to that which belongs to God. Hallelujah. And you remember, John 10:10 says what? The devil comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So we can see the demonic spirit doing what he knows how to do best, stealing, claiming ownership, legitimate right. So now in the event, in the case of this man, and like any other person that is demon-possessed or full with evil spirit, they become extremely upset when you challenge their right to occupy a person. And that's why sometimes when you see, when deliverance meetings going on, you see people manifesting and all of that, is the reaction, because the demon knows that he needs to do another work. If he leaves this body now, he needs to go and look for another empty space to do what? To dwell. Hallelujah. So the The question a lot of people ask, and you know, like I teach, I like to answer questions that I know, maybe my own questions, most times my own questions I see that people ask from time to time. And so the question is, why sometimes people feel like they are not fully delivered? Have you ever thought about that before? Have you ever thought about that before? Okay, so let me throw this out. For people who struggle with one addiction or the other, they still find that they still struggle with that addiction. They might not be doing it at the full length they were doing it before that deliverance took place, but you still find that you still have some proclivity, some things still in you still wants to do. For instance, maybe a man smokes or he drinks, right? He will tell you like, especially this is on the evangelism field now. People tell you like, I remember I had one man one time like that. I don't know if you remember him very well, Pastor Say, one of my proselytes like that around the neighborhood. If you've been around for a while, would come to church, you'll be stinking, you know, drunk and all of that. So I remember some of those my engagement. In fact, I got to a point that I won't even ask him again. But the moment he sees me, you see, you will just begin to confess. You say, Pastor, I didn't do more than one. 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 So in the event, in the case of that man, you see him confessing that, yes, I believe. And the funny thing about him was he would quote scriptures for me. I mean, to me. Interesting. He would quote scriptures and tell me, this is that he knows that he has a call of God upon his life. This is the call of God upon his life. He's a pastor. He knows, blah, 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 and all of that. You know? But looking at him, you come to the conclusion that maybe he didn't really get delivered fully. Hallelujah. And so the question I want to first answer is, why is it that people don't get delivered fully, or some people don't even get delivered at all? You have come out from time to time. They will say, okay, if you have this, you are suffering from this addiction, come out. You come out, then you find yourself after 1 month, 2 months, you go back into relapse. You begin to do those things you don't want to do again. I remember way back on campus, counseling people and all of that. You tell me, oh, I've been masturbating from primary school, from secondary school, but I'm struggling, I'm tired. Sir, will this thing ever leave me and all of that? So this is a teaching to be, I believe that I trust God to be able to, you know, answer that question. Now, why is it that people don't get delivered? Or they don't even get delivered at all? Number one is that they lack repentance. Hallelujah. They do what? They lack repentance. And can I tell us something? Repentance is not an emotional activity. And that is what a lot of us do. What do I mean by emotional activity? When it says there's an altar call. You come out, you cry, you do all and all of that. As beautiful as all of those things can be, repentance is not an emotional thing. Repentance is a decision. What did I say? Repentance is a decision. And what kind of decision is it? It's a decision of the will. So it's just beyond, oh, I won't go to BC's house, I won't go to Kola's house again. No. It's a decision of the will. And so what is repentance? Repentance is also a decision to stop fooling around with sin, disobedience, and stubbornness. Simply put, repentance is turning right around, turning your back on the devil. That's one. Turning your back on the world and everything that displeases God. So when you see a man who has not really repented, such a man has that question, I've not been fully delivered. You see such a man still struggling with some of those things that he claimed that he was once delivered from. So give me Mark 1:15. Mark 1:15. Most times when we think that we have the issue of faith, the issue is not the issue of faith, it's the issue of repentance. What did I say? It's the issue of repentance. It's not the issue of faith. A lot of times people say, oh, help me, my faith is small, I don't have faith at all. No, it's not first of all the issue of faith is the issue of repentance. Now, from that Mark 1:15, do we have it on the screen? Okay, Mark 1:15. The kingdom, Jesus said, the kingdom is at hand. And do we have it on the screen? Can we read it together, please? It says, it is fulfilled. Does this sound like the definition I gave just now about repentance? Yeah. Now, so he said, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Change what? Change your inner self, your old way of thinking. Regret past sin. And believe. So you see here that the issue of repentance comes first before even believe. If you give me another simpler translation without all of this paparazzi and explanation, simply put, repent and believe. So if repentance is not in place, regretting your past sins, stop your whole way of thinking. Now, this is not just, if I need to break this down, you will know that a lot of things go into the process of thinking. You cannot think without an information, true or false. True or false. So what a lot of us do is that we are trusting, in quotes, believing, we are doing the believing, expecting that the believing will happen first, then the repentance will happen. No. The order here is that it says repent and believe. So one of the things you need to repent in order to, you know, have your deliverance fully delivered to you, in order to for you to sustain and keep your deliverance, is that you first of all need to do what? Suffocate your source of information. What did I say? Suffocate. You need to first disconnect that source of information. The information, what am I talking about? What are the sources of information we have today? The media. You know, gone are those days where before you see nudity, you have to first wait for the television, your state's own television, to come on at 12 noon. 4. And they will give you this, is it black and white? They first give you black and white. Then they will come with, is it rainbow colors? Then they will come with some background music with this national anthem and do all of that paparazzi before you will see nudity. You see the process? It means that you have to wait for such a long time. But in this era now, it's everywhere. We carry it about. So, if you want to, you are struggling with, say, I have issues with faith. It's not an issue with faith you have. It's the issue you have, first of all, is the issue of repentance. Is that you are still feeding that thing that is making you fall back. You know, sometimes you just open social media and you are, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you will enjoy it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You will enjoy it. There's a way you look left, you look right. Is there anybody looking at me? There's nobody looking at me. It's just like, and the devil is so smart that he knows that it must not last more than 20 seconds. You hear about something called reels. YouTube has one now, shorts. Hallelujah. So is the first thing is the matter of repentance. You must genuinely repent. And it's not an emotional decision. It's a decision of your will. It's a decision of your will. I have so much to cover this evening. Number two. Why people don't get fully delivered, or people are not even delivered at all. Number two is the failure to confess sin. Is what? failure to confess sin, and I will look at it from different angles, basically two angles this evening. I say here, when you confess everything, you never told God anything that he didn't know already. You know, sometimes you are thinking like, if I talk to God, even God will be surprised. Is it the God that his eyes, as Jeremiah put it, that he runs to and fro around the earth, looking for whose heart is conformed to him, that you think what you want to confess to him will take him aback? Never. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is never shocked when you confess your sin. As a matter of fact, God doesn't demand confession because of him. He demands confession because of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let's look at James chapter 5 and verse 6. Or verse 16, I beg your pardon. We'll look at this confession. Because sometimes some people will say, this thing I'm struggling with. If you are struggling with the spirit of with anger, there's a spirit behind it. If you like, accept. If you like, don't accept. But that's what it is. If you are struggling with hatred, there's a spirit behind it. If you are struggling with masturbation, there's a spirit behind it. If you are struggling with lies, there's a spirit behind it. In fact, in the Old Testament, I think it's in, is it Chronicles or Kings? He said, I will go and be a lying spirit. Have we seen that scripture before? So it means it's a spirit. It's the operation of demonic spirit. James 5:16, it says, confess your sins or your trespasses to who? One to another. The first confession you need to do, and I have an opinion, I don't know if it's popular, but it says here, it says confess one to another. The first person you need to confess to, or the first entity, is God. Is somebody being blessed tonight? Is who? Is God. Number two is to your brother. And by definition of your brother, I mean somebody that you hold in, I don't want to say high esteem, but in esteem. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Somebody that you know that has the characteristics of who to confess to now. Because there are some people you confess to, you sleep, you wake up, the next thing is CNN, you are hearing it on CNN. Do you have people like that? Do you know people like that? No, that's not the person I'm talking to. Because one of the things I've realized is that even that's majorly one of the reasons why people don't confess. What is this person going to think of me? If I tell Agbaja, I'm sure. Have you heard a statement before that whatever you don't want to be all over, just keep it to yourself. The moment it comes out of your mouth, just know that it has reached everywhere. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Number two, from what scripture has recommended for us here, is that you confess to one another. You confess to God, your confession is to God. And I have an opinion. It's not a popular opinion, right? If what you have done wrong has to do with you and between you and God, my opinion is that you confess to God. I don't have a scripture for it. But if what you have done is, of course, God will always be there. It's between you, God, and a brother. I believe that it is wrong for you to just say you confess to God alone without also confessing. And I'll give you some instances, or one instance. Imagine that I stole Pastor Tope's money. And that is the only money he has. Assumption, right? That's the only money he has. And I come to church, and Pastor David is not the one preaching, and he says, confess, confess. And he's saying, confess to God. And now you now confess to God. But meanwhile, Pastor Tope doesn't still have the money. Do you think the confession is complete? You need to call him. Pastor Kwe, I stole your money. I told you it's not a popular opinion. It's my opinion. You know, I learn a lot online now. POV. Aha, even Isabella knows it. point of view. You also hold, I hold him confession. Huh? I hold him. Now, in the event where you are too weak to call him to say, I did this, so what do you think should be common sense now? Or Bible sense, whichever you want to call it. What do? You talk to someone else. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Because the reason why some of us are still holding some things close-chested is because of what I just said now. Or let's say maybe Pastor Tokpe is the kind of person that the moment he hears, there won't be rest again. No, that's the best thing to do. The best thing to do is not to go and meet him directly. Because I know that the moment, before I even complete that, like, I stole your last money. Before I even say I stole your money, there's one slab that will reset everything, that the bell in your secondary school, you just be suddenly hearing it. Ba-gum, 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 ba-gum. So in order to avoid that, what do? You look for somebody that you know he listens to and talk to the person. So I can look for Pastor Dave Olakunle and say, Pastor Dave Olakunle, I want to report myself. I'm emphasizing this because this is one of the things I believe is keeping a lot of us in bondage. A lot of us have things against, ourselves. And some of us have even sworn that you will go to your grave with that thing in your heart. I was listening to some old folks recently. And they said, the question was, what do you regret the most in life? He said, there are some things that I can't tell my partner. He was referring to, I think it was a man who was saying this. He can't tell his wife. So, my own mind quickly like, okay, maybe this man cheated on his wife. Maybe he bought another house for another person somewhere else. Maybe he did this and all of that. But he's saying that he knows that he's filled with regret because he can't tell his wife. And you see, the more you have such an experience, the more the devil keeps you in bondage. If you have something that, is bothering you, and you feel like, they say confession, I've confessed it to God. It's not only God you confess to. You also have to let the person who is involved in this matter, you need to let the person know. The event might not be, it might become even very messy. You know, there are things sometimes that you feel like, I know what I'm talking about. You justify by saying, I think it's just best that I keep this thing to myself. Because if I allow Lagbaja to his police station, if I confess to Lagbaja his police station, true or false? There are instances like that, right? So, in a way to, is it mitigate now, or maybe to not, so that it won't degenerate or escalate into that level, you want a clear conscience. Because one of the things that the devil does is that a lot of people are in, they are bound. Have you ever wondered when scripture says the heart of man is what? Desperately wicked. He says, who can know it? The word know there is who can discern it. Maybe heaven is looking, God is looking for, who can help us tell what this man has against this man? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, that's my opinion. It's not a popular opinion, no. It's not a popular opinion. John chapter 8, verse 32. The whole basis of deliverance rests on truth. What did I say? The whole basis of deliverance rests on truth. Please, I don't want your mind to just rest solely alone on Matthew 12, 43 to 46, where we talked about demons and all of that. I want you to think out of the box. I want us to think out of the box. The moment you have something that is within your chest that you can't tell, it means there's no truth. Deliverance rests on truth. John 8:32. It says, you shall know what? The truth. And what will truth do? It will set you free. Another word for that freedom is what? Deliver. You'll be delivered. I was watching something, or I don't know if it was a movie or something. You see, I don't know if it was Pastor that was saying this thing. Somebody went into marriage. He knew that he can't procreate anymore. I don't know who was listening. Was it here? Maybe missing one message online. I don't know. He knows that, or she knows that she can't procreate anymore. And they went into marriage and they couldn't do. They tried, went from one gynecologist to another gynecologist, consulted this doctor, consulted that doctor. Oh, sorry, I know now. It was Bro Billy Akoni who was talking about it. He said he was in UK and the brother said, Daddy! The brother screamed, said, Daddy, there is fire on the mountain. Oh, there is fire on the mountain. I want to see you. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. He said, what is it? Which trouble are you? So after his ministration, now he organized. He said, he told the brother, see that the brother said, sir, what is happening? You know when they say fire is burning on the Inonjolorio Rule? What is Inonjolorio Rule, please? I have international audience. There's fire on the mountain. Is that okay? He said, the brother said he couldn't, Broglie said the brother couldn't sit down. He said, the doctor in UK now said, why have you guys been trying? Because they just relocated from Nigeria to UK. It was the doctor who just, out of, the doctor didn't know that he's wanting to keep private, another thing to blow up. Blow and I said, sorry, did you guys say you've been doing series of tests, doing this, doing that, buying this drug, buying that? They said, from the x-ray or what we did, we saw from that x-ray that your wife doesn't even have a womb. He said, he felt like a man who had just been tapped from sleep. Like, he said, she doesn't have a womb. You don't have a womb. He said, wait, did you know all along? And she said, yes. He said, so why didn't you tell me? He said, if I told you, the marriage would not have helped. Hallelujah. So in that case, now what do you want the brother to do? So he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Any moment you find that truth is no longer within your jurisdiction, cry for help. Because what the devil is doing is to keep men in bondage. Any moment you see you are shying, I said it one time ago, that the moment you see that a message is being preached, or you saw it online, and it's addressing something you are struggling with, and instead of you to receive that engrafted word of God with meekness, you quickly swipe up. Just know that there's danger. There's what? There's danger. Hallelujah. Number three. What's number one? Lack of repentance. Number two? Number three is failure to completely forgive others. Give me Mark 11:25-26. Mark 11:25-26. You see the recommendation there. And that's the reason, one of the reasons why a lot of us, our prayers are not answered. And I've realized that the unforgiveness, the hurt of unforgiveness, it usually comes from people who are close to us. True of us. If I ask you now, the keke man that, if you drive in Lagos, the keke man that bashed your car 2 months ago, can you remember him? you can't remember him. Give me such instances of people you don't know, strangers. The conductor that said, I will join you. I will join you. Can you remember him? If you see him today, can you recognize him? No. But usually, I've noted from my experience that unforgiveness usually comes from people that is within, people very close to us. And so what do we have in Mark? Mark. What do we have in Mark? Mark 11:25. Can we read together? One, two, go. Don't go. Let's not rush it. Imagine I rush here. How can you be rushing? Well, there are some people who are experts in that too. You say, I like him as they hurt. This one, I know it they hurt, but we need to bank me. I'll be bank me. He says, whenever you stand in what? Please respond. It's call and respond. Whenever you what? You stand. And what is the activity you are doing? Praying. What is prayer? Communing or conversing with God. He said, if you have anything against anyone, what was the recommendation there?
Forgive
him. The reason why a lot of us don't get deliverance is because of this unforgiveness. Lie over my dead body. People say it. Are you shocked? People are no longer scared. You see, before you say repent, so that you won't go to hell. You won't do this. People will tell you like, I'm more hell, lalagon. Like, hell. The one way we they see for Nigeria, how different is it from the one you are talking about? I would rather go to grave rather than forgive this person. The more you have a heart like that, or you not that kind of grudge that, and I know sometimes it can be painful. I've been there before, so I'm not talking to Ross what I don't know. I've been there. I told my wife one time, I think I've shared it here. It's people who are close to you that it pains the most, not people who are, not outsiders. It's insider. Let me give you an instance. You know, I'm married. If anybody here, aside my wife, says, so let's meet in church 3 o'clock, and the person doesn't come 3 o'clock, you know, you come, and there's this saying, Pastor David, what was that pastor's quote again? Everyone loves Pastor. I think I should trademark that statement. Everyone loves Pastor David. And you come to church. What do you think the natural thing is? And you say, Pastor, I'm sorry, it was that, just that traffic. See, the road expansion and all of that. I'll just say, I understand. I'm sharing one of my secrets to you now. But if it's my wife, see that married man. So I know what I'm talking about, that it pains you when it's somebody that you love even the most. But the recommendation of the Bible, of God's word, is that you forgive. The forgiveness is not because of that person. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying tonight? That you choose to forgive it has not so much to do with that person. It has so much to do. Because what God is addressing in this scripture is that if you hold that in mind, it's affecting my communion with you and I. So for God to be bringing a third party into a conversation, you and God are having a conversation, and God to be bringing a third party into the conversation, you should know that it's serious now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, before I started, I already got a question. So I was like, Jesus, before. So I'm walking. Okay. I hope I'll be able to address. So, if you forgive, can we read that Mark? Do we have that Mark? Mark 11. Please, somebody give me a new King James, not Amplified. Just a random person. New King James, Mark 11, 25. Okay. It says, and when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive. So I say here, if you forgive, God will forgive you. This is New Testament. This is not Old Testament. If you forgive, God will forgive you. If you don't forgive, what happens? Okay, now you talk, I'm not be me talk, I'm. But that is what it is. If you are not forgiving, you are not a candidate for deliverance. And you don't have legal rights. So forgiveness is not an emotion, it's a decision that is expressed by utterance. And let me tell you something. For those of us who have people who have done very strong things to us, don't just forgive in your heart. You see that forgiveness in your heart? You need to express it with what? With words, with your mouth. And to even push it further, call the person on phone. Or maybe it's even something that people know. Maybe some family members know. Let there be a witness. Lagbaja, I had this against you. And I've forgiven you. Not just between the two of you now. There should also be a witness. You get why? I hope somebody got that very well. Let there be a witness. Let there be somebody, like somebody that knows, or if there's nobody, brief somebody, so person. And if the person is not reachable, you can't reach the person physically, there's a distance, call the person or drop a message, drop a WhatsApp message to the person and say, this, narrate it. Maybe you have told, let's say for instance, I tell pastors, in fact, if I feel like if I call the person will not pick my call, you know what I would do? I have your contact, I'd rather give pastor the number. I will let him be the one to facilitate that whole process. So he will call the person. He would have narrated given the person the gist beforehand. He will now call me. Then we'll talk together. Because people, the Yorubas will say, you reach front, you don't turn to something else. You go back, you don't turn to something else. You need a witness to be able to validate that, yes, we were there the day so and so person said so and so thing, and it has finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number what are we now? Number four, failure to break with the occult. Failure to break. Why some people are bound, why some people are not delivered. Failure to break with the occult. And let's read this beautiful story, the sons of Sceva, Acts 19, 13. Let's read from verse 13. You'll see a typical, classical example. Not even about the sons of Sceva now, but the reaction of the people who heard about the story. We are all familiar with the sons of Sceva, true or false, right? But let's read that story. Give me Acts chapter 19 and verse 13. Can we read together? As we do, want to go. And then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, mark that word, took it upon themselves. You see that word exorcists, let me break it down. Simply put, they were magicians. Magicians. And do you know we still have those people in this our age and time now? You see, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, what did they do? Took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Verse 14. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest. Their father was a priest. Next verse. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Verse 16. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. We all know this story. This one is interesting. Verse 17. This is where the story is interesting for me. What now happened as a result of that? He became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. And what? Was magnified. Verse 18. And many who had believed, they came to confess their deeds. You know, I told us about confession the other time. Are you seeing it in practice here now? But what did they even come to confess? Mark it. He didn't say unbelievers. Did he say unbelievers? Who are these people? People who had believed. So it's possible that there are believers. But let's go on. Excuse me. They brought their books together. You know, the other time when I was telling you that forgiveness is not just something you just do in secret. Can we see an example here? They were witness. The Bible says they came, they burned their books together in the sight of all. It says, and they counted up the value of them, and it was totaled how many? How much? 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, but the interesting thing for me is not just that they came and confessed and all of that. Is that, one, they were believers. But they were not just believers. They were believers who had artifacts of demons. Please put up that scripture. It says, and many of those who had practiced magic, they brought their books. And they burned them in the sight of all. So one of the reasons why people are not delivered is that they still have something that belongs to the devil. These guys were Christians. Or they were believers, right? But they still had their magic book with them. You know, some of us will say, I got it from my great grandma when we went to do one festival. So that was the only gift she gave me. She said, I keep, that's the reason why I'm keeping it at home. This is one of the reasons why people don't get delivered, though. Or you go to, you know, there are some of these festivals they do in U.S. that the only thing they sell are some of those artifacts. Drawing, paintings. And if you watch movies very well, you see that sometimes it can just be the frame on the wall that is the source of the demonic operations in that house. So you need to be careful what you buy. When I got to know about this thing, I saw buying that bead. What's that? That bead that we just use casually. I just totally stopped it. If you have something that belongs to the devil will it will always come back. I had a friend one time, or a colleague at work one time. When G-Boys just came to town, in the early 2000s. You know who they call G-Boys? I know I'm in church. Who are G-Boys? Thank you. You know, when they just came to town, that was the inception of ICPC, when ICPC was very odd. ESCC just came and all of that. You know, he made money, Saba Cafe, doing buying all night. They will go sleep, wake up. No, they won't sleep, sorry. They'll be chatting and all of that. So, somehow, he got preached to by someone. And the person asked him to even come and live in his house. He lived in the person's house. He was living there. An itinerant pastor, minister of God. This guy I'm talking about tasted money. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Tasted, when he talked about, you know the way they live now, the way they live large, they can order for everybody here. And they will ask you, don't pay, don't worry, I've got you covered. He lived that kind of life. He had cars. In fact, to the extent he said he never wore one clothes twice. Because there was no time to be washing, to be doing laundry. It's not now that everybody has washing machine at home. So he would just buy clothes, they would just go shop, bath up, and do all of that. So he did all of that. Then he got preached to, he got saved. Then life continued. There came a time in his life that he had no money. The owner of the house and his wife had traveled. Nobody to call to say, give me money and all of that. My wife knows the person I'm talking about very well. Then he didn't come to work. So I called him. Hey, guy, what's up? Where have you? Where are you? This happened in Abuja, way back in Abuja. I said, where are you? The way he responded, he was not encouraged. And I said, are you sick? Are you okay? Are you this? Are you that? And all of that. He said, that is not all of that that is doing him, that he doesn't have money. I said, okay, I'll send money to you. So I sent money to him. The next day he came to the office. It was when he came to the office, after office, I now told me. He said, thank God I called him yesterday that he was not really in a good mood. He was this kind of guy that, you know, that era, I think they knew how, credit card, they know how to generate with machine, computer, software. He's an IT guy, by the way. Very skillful IT guy. He brought the card. I'd never seen the card. When you hear card of, give me those banks in US. Ma? Barclay. Yeah, Barclays. Where do you want to use Barclay in Nigeria? He brought the card. That was my first time of seeing that card. He said he was actually about to start generating credit card. And you know what they used to do in their own time? The money won't come. It's not now that they get the money in their account. He was going to use the money to buy items and ship it into Nigeria. So I told him, I said, guy, I don't want to mention his name. I said, guy, you need to destroy this thing. The more you have this thing in your possession, the more you'll be tempted. I'm not assuring you that you always have money. I'm not assuring you that you always have money. But you see, the days where you don't have money, you'll be tempted to go back. And that's what is happening to some people who are denouncing the faith. They are not denouncing the faith like this. But something that they once condemned silently. You know, like this, my guy, he was doing it silently, codedly. Silently, people are going back to it. The more you have those artifacts in your house, one day the god or the demon will come and say, I gave you a break now. How far now? The one where I give you don't do now. Now, the problem of the guy in Matthew 12, the problem was not that, you know, scripture says, the demon said, I will go back to my house. And when he came back, he met the house how? Cleaned. No, he said he met it empty. Cleaned. Garnished. In order. The problem is not that the house was in order. Because you would have like, the house was clean. Have you ever thought about it, that the house was clean? The problem was that there was no replacement. So it is not just enough to say, deliverance. What's the replacement? Is Jesus the replacement? Because the moment there's no replacement, trust me, the demon will come back. The demon will come back. Strong, and he's not coming. You know, Pastor Toto, he's not coming back with 1 degree. He's coming raised to power 7. Excuse me. And so that's what some of us do. Say, I want to fast. Have you realized that after that your 3 days dry fasting, the woes that came, that befell you, was way much more than what you were managing before you started that fast? True of us. That you are like, you that you say, let me do this 3 days fast. It will, they say it will, fasting humbles. I won't I won't be angry again. In fact, it was your day one of the fasting that somebody just by error just stepped on you and said, hey, everywhere, you want to see crazy? You want to see crazy? Hallelujah. So there has to be a replacement. And Jesus, when I say Jesus, you think I just say, oh, just Jesus. Is that you must now, you know, that was why I emphasized the issue of repentance. Repentance is not just you do something casually without another option. There must be another option, and Jesus must become that option. The moment Jesus is not that option, oh, the devil is just looking at you and he's smiling. That guy is just, you know, that demon, the Bible says he just went, says, I'll come back another time. He's like, they just gave this one pepper soup water from his church, so let him salivate on that. Once he's done with that salivation, he will come back. And that was what the devil did. That was what the devil did. And you know, last week I was talking about God's word. Who remembers that? Studying God's word is that there will be days of battle. You know, and Pastor always tells us this. He says the day David will fight Goliath, he will be alone. When that urge will come suddenly, strongly on you, you will be alone. There won't be pastor, there won't be anybody, there won't be your friend around. And so that's why you must cook yourself with the word of God to the extent that you can say. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. He says, but by every word that does what? That comes out of his mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we blessed this evening? Are we blessed this evening? All right. Any question? I have just 5 minutes. I have a question here and we all answer it by anonymous. Give me Galatians 6:1-6. It says, my question is coming from the book of Galatians chapter 6:1-6. Can we quickly read Galatians 1-6? I think that would be the only question. Okay, can we read together? Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, who you are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Now, I talked about forgiveness and all of that. Can you see recommendations from scripture here now? In a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Next verse. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So the first question here says, what attitude should we have when correcting others? I think the answer is, you don't come and say, the technology is here. You know what most of us do a lot, most of the time, is we come with our own profile. I was the one who washed the plate yesterday. That's your own profile. That's your own gain. I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. So the moment you have put all of that forward, the person who you want to settle scores with already feels like you are attacking me. True or false? So he says here, if you are correcting, how do we correct? In the spirit of what? Gentleness. Do I have any other person who wants to contribute to that? Pastor Tope? You say, what attitude should we have when correcting? I think it's just self-explanatory from that scripture, gentleness. Number 2, how can we bear others' bodies? How can we bear others' bodies? You know that scripture says bearing one another's bodies. Huh? Okay, praying for one another. Burden. But there's really no 1, 2, 3 steps of how. He's talking about the how. He just mentioned bearing one another's bodies, but he didn't mention how to bear bodies there. Can we give, please put up that scripture again? Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? You want us to start another teaching for you? I actually saw that, but I don't want us to go into that. It's a whole teaching, the law of Christ. And you won't just look at the law of Christ in isolation. You look at law from Moses. We'll look at law from Moses. That's where we look at it. But the law of Christ is some. He said, this is the summary of the law. Yeah. I think it's in John where Jesus was speaking. He said, this is how men will know that you are my disciples, when you love one another. Uh-huh. So that's the law of Christ. But that's not the superficial, because we need to go into that extensively. The third question is, what does verse 3 mean? Are we something or... What does verse 3 mean? Give me verse 3. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. It is when you have overblown estimation of yourself. When you think you are the Alpha and Omega. And I will give you a classical example, Nebuchadnezzar. If you go to Daniel 4. Please give me Daniel 4:22. You will see how Nebuchadnezzar was boastful. Daniel 4:22. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. Please, sir, help me with this Bible. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. There's a particular place. Let me look at where he was saying, I have built this with the mightiness of my... Verse 30. Can we read together? The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon, by my, what became the end of this man? He became a maniac. The way my Sunday school teacher taught us that time, he was in the forest. He was eating with animals. You see everything he mentioned in this place. He said, is this not this great Babylon? I built this country. It's just like one president is now saying, I built Nigeria. What do you think will happen on social media? We'll be agog with bad boys, yes. So I hope I answered your question. Any other question? Lastly, just one more question. One more question. I hope I answered your question. One more question? Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Pastor says. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Please, can we get another microphone? We have audience online.
Thank you. So sometimes I will go to God and ask for forgiveness of sins.
Yes, ma'am.
I know He forgives. Within some minutes, I will sin again. I will still go and ask for repentance. I will still go and ask for forgiveness of sins. I know I will be forgiven also. So I know I'm a sinner, and I know I do sin from time to time. So when they will call for repentance, I will go out. I will claim I'm now a born again.
When you say come and give your life to Christ, you come out again.
Yes, I will come out. So I will practice that righteousness. Maybe if, let me say, a full day, I'll practice righteousness. The next day, I'll notice that I have sinned. So in this repentance we are talking of, I want to ask, the Bible has said it already that nobody is perfect. And I want to ask, is it possible that one can stay without sinning?
Okay. So the first question there is about the assurance of salvation, right? Okay. Pastor Dave, you want to answer to that? Pastor Ose. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. I think everyone was always at this point, or rather, still some people are still at this point. Well, let me read from 1 John verse 3.
Awesome.
I'll start from verse 20. It says, "For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Now, I like to say here that most times we all find ourselves at this point. And as Pastor David has explicitly explained in this Bible study tonight, we need to be careful for where our heart really lies. Because most times Christians find themselves in the position where they keep doing something and they keep doing something and they keep doing something, and it now becomes a nature. The problem with sin is the nature. When you became born again, it was that nature that was taken. So you are no longer, the nature that was given to you was righteousness. Yes, is it possible to find yourself doing some of these things? It's very possible. Is it possible that you find yourself doing it continually? Yes, it's very possible. The problem is now when you find yourself doing it continually and your heart is not pricked. That's where the Bible says your heart has been seared
with hot iron.
That's the problem. That's when you cannot really say, this one is an unbeliever. Where you keep finding, you go, you womanize, you smoke, you drink, and your heart doesn't condemn you. That is where the exact problem is. Now, are we still saying that this, like some people will say, little sins can, Paul will ask in Romans chapter 6 verse 1, say, should we continue in sin? And we say that grace should abound. It says, God forbid. So, we are, and like you rightly said, we are attaining towards that part of perfection. But what you must be very careful of continually is that position of your heart. And like the Bible says, before Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, what we were meant to be dependent on was not the law. The Bible says, I will write it in their hearts. The law was what you are supposed to do, whether right or wrong, was supposed to be in your heart. The same Abraham who lied that Sarah was his wife, God went and told the man that, well, let me probably not go to extreme places, but I believe I must have said a bit. Maybe Pastor Dave can rub up.
Okay, so, the moment she asked that question, I just remember the teaching series, the Bible Wednesday. Who remembers that teaching? Wednesday class like this, where we talked about the sin nature. We remember? Yeah. So now I have a lot of scriptures that just came to mind, but for want of time, let me read the popular one we know, Romans 8, verse 1. And before you read Romans 8, 1, if you remember in 7, maybe 21, please just let me open there, Romans 7, 21, when Paul was talking about, who will deliver me from this wretched body of sin, in one part of me desires to, the things I love to do, that the things I don't, the things that the law of God requires from me, that the things I don't do, the things I don't want to do, that the things I find myself do. Now, from Romans 8, 1, it says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The question is, are you in Christ Jesus? If you are in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation. It is no longer condemnation. It is God's spirit in you that is now bringing to your own spirit an awareness that this thing you are doing is against the law of God. I don't know, maybe you understand what I'm talking about, man. So is that ability that the indwelling spirit of God in you is the one bringing to your own consciousness now to tell you that this thing you are doing is wrong. So it says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. He says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ has done what? Has made me free from the law of what? Of sin and death. He says, for the law of the spirit, verse 2, he says, for the law of the spirit of, as maybe free from the law of sin. And they say, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, what happened? God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful nature. on account of sin. He says he condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to flesh, but according to the spirit. If you depend on the energy of the flesh, you can't do it. Let me rephrase that. If you depend, it's not just something you say, I won't get angry today. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's not something you just decide. It's not you alone. The Bible says it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his what? Good pleasure. So it is not just you alone. It is an enablement that is supplied by the Spirit of Christ. And so if you go to Galatians 5, you will see where he's talking to you. They say, if we live in the Spirit, let us not walk. Galatians 5, right? 5:25, 5:16. Give me Galatians 5:16. So by the time we look at all of this, it's a long teaching that I won't want to go back into. But that the question is, I find myself doing that again. One of the things you need to settle now is that there's that which is called assurance of salvation. God, do you believe in the death of Christ? Yes. Do you believe in the burial? Do you believe that Jesus is coming back again? Now, if all of these things are there, that we have ticked these three things. You believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That you fall into some of these small sins, or what we call besetting sins, is not for you to say, oh, I need to go back 100 times again. Yes, there's that place in 1 John 1 or 1 John 2, where it's talking about if we say we do not have sin, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not, Abby, is not in us. But if we confess our sins, is faithful to do what? And just to forgive us our sin. That is not the sin that has to do with the old man. It's the fruit of the old man you are dealing with now in 1 John 1. Because the moment you gave your life to Christ, it was your spirit who got saved. We still have some of these installations from the old nature still dwelling with us. So you don't just start. For some people, it can happen. For some other people, it will take time as we subject ourselves, open ourselves to scriptures, open ourselves to the love of God, open ourselves to relating with God's word. That's when we become transformed. Romans 12:1, it says, "Be therefore, my brethren." Romans 12:1. Give me Romans 12:1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So until we come to this point of presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, it says only acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The emphasis is verse 2. Give me verse 2. Verse 2. Ah, no, not 7:21. 12:2, sorry. It says, "And do not be what? Conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That you may prove. You see, this proof is that you'll be able to judge, this is fornication, this is not fornication. But how do you get to this point? Is that you must submit to this school of transformation that God is working in you to now say, okay, because your conscience has always been weak. Now, when you now come to God and you are studying God's law, studying God's word, you now begin to know like, okay, I got to work. Resumption time is 8 o'clock, but I got to work 8:15. We usually start 8:30. That means I was not late. Now, by opening yourself to God's word, you now know that you have been writing that you got to work 7:55, but you got to work 8:15. That is wrong. On your own, you might not really, you won't know until you expose yourself that God is now telling you. This thing you have done, you know, is and so there are some things like that you won't even found in the Bible that is written there. But the law of God, that's the Spirit of God, will now tell you like, the way you responded to that person, you shouldn't have responded that way. I hope I'm able to just, please, let's note this question. By the time we come for our questions and answers period, we'll answer it and look at it elaborately again, and we'll be able to, we're far, time is, can we be on our feet?